It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Thompson. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am doing well.
Amen.
And as I said before, there's a difference between being good and doing well, but sometimes I'm good even.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can now send that to us three ways. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can text that anytime. And if it's after the program, we will get it on paper and pray for you the following day. Or you can send that to our email, or you can still post it to our Facebook page. The text line is 580-485-0837. The email is hourofpower32@gmail.com. And like I said, you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you. We do record in two parts and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Great quality work by a company that has Christian values. Today is Thursday. We're going to have the truth broadcast following the program. Let me correct that. We're going to have the truth broadcast following the program. There'll be a few songs, and then we'll come back. You'll get a notification. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
I will. Father, I just want to say thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for the opportunity just to be here and to be an encouragement to those who are tuned in and those who will tune in. I pray that this time will be for your praise and for your glory, that we will just be able to speak your word. For it really doesn't matter what we say, but Lord, we just pray that you will speak through us to those who are listening. And we just give this time into your care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title, Uncertainty and Faith.
Uncertainty and Faith. That's probably kind of appropriate in our world today. Of course, if you look at any time in the world, there's always been uncertainty. Want to start with an illustration that Carl Sagan, the famous astronomer, used in Cosmos many, many years ago, but it was about another astronomer. And this was in the days of telegrams, before telephone became the popular way of communication. And he says a newspaper had sent a telegram to a noted astronomer and asked the noted astronomer, said, "Wire collect immediately 500 words on whether there is life on Mars." And so this noted astronomer, who he did not name, dutifully replied with these words, "Nobody knows," and he repeated it 250 times. there's a lot of uncertainty in our world and our universe today, and no one really knows the future. No one really understands what is going to happen, you know, a minute from now. Jesus may return. We don't know. The only thing that is certain about the future is that the future is uncertain as far as we're concerned. And if we've learned anything in the last 2 years, we've learned a lot about the uncertainty of the future with COVID, the inflation, here recently the conflict in the Ukraine, which we're thankful that, it hasn't expanded beyond where it's at. But there's a lot of uncertainty, and only God knows the future. We think that we have our own future under control. We think that we know what it happens to be. But I like what Mark Batterson has to say. He says, we have no control of when we die and most often how we die, but we have control over how we live. And so I think that's really important for us to know and to understand. He goes on and says in a different place, I'm not convinced that your date of death is a date carved on your tombstone. Most people die long before that. We start dying when we have nothing worth living for, and we don't really start living until we find something worth dying for. Ironically, discovering something worth dying for is what makes life worth living. And so he's saying, find what is important. Find what you are willing to die for, and that's really what makes life worth living. And in the Old Testament, we have a man by the name of Jonathan, who was Saul's son. And he truly understood that finding something worth dying for is what makes life worth living. Let me give you a little background to this short passage of Scripture I'm going to read. Saul has been anointed king of Israel. Saul has had great success, but before this passage that I'm reading, Saul had decided to take matters into his own hands. Samuel had come to him and told him, Samuel said to him, you know, you don't go into battle until I come and offer this sacrifice. And if you're familiar with that passage of Scripture, Samuel's words were what he meant and what God had told him to say. But Saul, on the other hand, after he'd been there for 7 days and Samuel hadn't arrived, he began to get a little nervous. He saw all of his troops beginning to desert him, going back to their homes, going up in the hills. And so he decided, well, I'm not sure Samuel's coming, so I'm going to sacrifice myself. And Saul offers a sacrifice, and Samuel shows up right after it's over and says, Saul, what have you done? He says, well, you didn't come, and I was a little bit scared of all the people deserting me, so I did it. That's not the exact words, but that's the gist of what took place. And so Saul says, well, the kingdom's going to be taken from you. And if you go on and read, they go into battle. They get beat pretty badly. And so the Philistines now are kind of in control of the country. Well, Saul is not just a little bit discouraged. He's sitting under a pomegranate tree, and him and 600 of his troops are surrounded him. Everybody else has gone home. Jonathan, on the other hand, he looks out and he sees those Philistines and he says, you know what? God's with us. We can take them. And so I want to read to you this short passage of Scripture, just one verse out of 1 Samuel 14:6, says to his armor bearer, let's go across to this outpost of those pagans. Perhaps the Lord will be with us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. And Jonathan, when he's saying these words, he says, perhaps, he's not certain. He says, perhaps the Lord will be with us. Perhaps the Lord will help us. But he goes on and he searches faith, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win the battle whether with many warriors or a few. And so there's some uncertainty there in Jonathan's mind, but he's still putting his faith in God. And we live in a world of uncertainty, and in our world of expanding knowledge, there's a lot of things that we are still uncertain about. The formation of our universe is still a mystery. You can say, well, where did the universe come from? And they can give you all these explanations, but the fact is, nobody knows. How our world is carefully organized is still a mystery. To see how everything operates from the tiniest single cell and even those things that make up the cell to our world as a whole, there's so much we still don't know and probably will never know. What's the one ingredient that gives our body life is still a mystery as far as scientists and the medical world goes. What the future holds is still a mystery because we're not there. We don't know. And certainty is the one thing that people long for in our world, but it's the one thing that we cannot have. It eludes us as a vanishing vapor. And we see it for a moment and think this is it, and then all of a sudden it's gone. We go to the doctor and they give us a diagnosis we're not expecting. We have a job and all of a sudden we're told we no longer have a job. All of these things we're not certain of. And one of the things we need to learn as a Christ follower is when we seek certainty, when we seek to have our life laid out in a certain way, it's a deterrent to living in God's divine moment. And we don't realize that because God wants to break into our lives and give us divine moments. But if we're certain things have to go a certain way, we're not allowing God to break into our lives. We're not allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives. And Jonathan understood that not everything was guaranteed. It didn't matter whether he had two warriors or he had 200,000 warriors. Victory wasn't in the numbers. Victory was only in God. And he knew that his God, our God, was powerful enough to get the job done. And so it's important for us to get rid of the idea that everything has to line up before we do something, that we have all of our ducks in the row before we begin to move forward. There has to be an X number of people before we can accomplish this ministry. Jonathan wasn't looking there and saying, well, how many of these 600 people are going to go with me? He just looked at his armor bearer and said, hey, it's you and me, bud. Let's go see what we can do. And we have to get rid of the idea of how many people or how much do we have in resources, finances, or other things to be able to accomplish the task. We also need to get rid of the idea that we cannot do something until we hear clearly from God. Now, don't get me wrong here. I believe God speaks, and we do oftentimes hear clearly from him. But sometimes we just have to follow God where we're at until the moment becomes clear. And that's a problem that we oftentimes have. We want to have the exact directions from God. And we want him to spell it out for us. And we need to get rid of that concept, because if God gave us the exact directions and what he wanted to do for us, guess what? Most of us would probably run from what God's saying, I want you to do. And so we need to get rid of that. Maybe God's saying you need to get moving and then I will show you what to do. I remember growing up on the farm. We had three tractors over the years when I was growing up on the farm, and none of them had power steering. Well, they did have power steering. It took all your power to steer them. One of the things was you learned in driving a tractor without power steering, especially one of the tricycle tractors like we had, is that you didn't turn the steering wheel before you started moving. It really did take all your power to turn that steering wheel if it was sitting still. And so you learned real quickly, put the tractor in gear, start beginning going forward or backwards, and then as the tractor's moving, it's much easier to steer. And I think that's what God's saying. Get moving. Get moving. And then I will show you where to steer and how to steer in your life. And so it's important that we understand that. Jonathan didn't wait. He just said, let's get moving. God will steer us in the correct direction. And he even gave a couple of things, you know. If they say, come up to us, everything's well. If he says, stay there and we'll come to you, it's probably not going to go well for us. You know, that was kind of his idea. And so I think it's time for us as Christians to quit asking the question, what is God's will for my life? And begin asking the question, how can I give my life to fulfill God's will? There's a little bit of a difference there. What is God's will for my life? We're sitting there and we're waiting for him to give us all the X's and O's. But when we say, how can I give my life to fulfill God's will? We're saying, God, I just want to do your will. And I'm going to begin doing what I know. And then from there, you direct me into what needs to happen. And so we have a lot of uncertainty in our world, and we need to realize that uncertainty, it can either be our friend or our enemy. If uncertainty keeps you from moving, then it's your enemy. But if uncertainty says, I'm going to move forward and doing what I know God wants me to do at this point in time, then it actually can work for your benefit, because you're saying, I don't know it all. I'm allowing God to guide me and direct me. Which brings us to the idea that the cure for uncertainty is faith. In our world today, we're prone to live a no-risk faith. And our wealth and our abundance of resources have prepared us to accept a paradigm that provision always needs to precede vision. And we get it backwards that way. It's like going to a bank and asking for a loan. They aren't interested in what your vision is. I mean, yeah, they are. But the reason why they're interested in your vision is because they're not so concerned about what your vision is, but they want to know, are you going to be able to pay this money back? You know, I don't care how big your vision is. They're interested whether they're going to get a return on their money. And so we have to begin to understand that there is a risk, and we have to have faith when we're following God. Jesus said to his followers and those who were wanting to follow him, he said, count the cost. And he wasn't talking about counting the cost dollar-wise. He was referring to counting the cost of following him. What is it going to cost you, and are you willing to give up that to follow me? And he goes on elsewhere, and he talks about the idea of counting the cost. And he says, you know, when you put your hand to the plow, you're counting the cost of moving forward. You're not looking back. If you look back when plowing, you plow crooked, by the way. Been there and done that. Count the cost. And so here we see Jonathan. And Jonathan is counting the cost. And he knows he might not survive. I mean, this is two against, we're not sure how many, but we know later on that he killed 20 people within the space of about a half acre. But there may have been many more there that we don't know of. But he puts his trust in the Lord. Perhaps the Lord will help us. And that's saying, you know, not sure where this is, but he says nothing can hinder the Lord. And that's where the faith comes in. He can win the battle whether there are many warriors or only a few. And so we need to remember that God comes through when we have faith. We want to live for God, really for ourselves. A lot of us do. We want the fire insurance plan. We want God because we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to go to that eternal destination of fire and suffering and all of that. And that is one reason to trust and to follow God. Let's be honest. But some people, that's primarily the only reason why they follow God. They want to avoid hell. It's that eternal fire insurance. Others choose to follow God because they want the blessings of God. Don't get me wrong. God's blessings are great, and there's nothing wrong with wanting the blessings of God, but wanting them for the right reasons. And if the only reason why we're following God is for the blessings, then maybe we're being a little bit selfish. I'm just telling it like it is, guys. Folks, guys and gals, you know. We want the blessings of God. We want to go to heaven. We want to be a part of the church club. We want to be a part of the good guys, that idea. But when it comes right down to it, we really don't want to give up our earthly wants for what God wants, to fully, totally follow God. And Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any of you wants to be my follower, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Now, to take up your cross daily is oftentimes misinterpreted. There are people who believe that taking up your cross daily means to live the woe is me life. I have this burden to bear. I have to take up my cross and I have to bear this burden day in and day out and day in and day out. And sometimes taking up your cross is carrying burdens, you know, carrying difficulties in life. I'm not going to minimize that, but that's their only view of taking up the cross. When we think of what Jesus is saying, when he says, take up our cross daily, we have to realize what a cross was designed for. A cross was designed to die on. That's the purpose of the cross. I mean, you hung on a cross, you hung there to die. Torment, yes, there's torment in that. But I think what Jesus is ultimately saying here is you take up your cross to die to yourself. Take it up daily to die to yourself and then to live for him.
Amen. Come on.
That is what he is saying. And when you die to yourself, then you can live for God because you are living for what God wants. You're not living for what you want. You're living for what God wants. And that's the most important thing. And really, I think that's kind of where Jonathan is. He's saying, I want to live for God. And, you know, part of living for God is for us to be free to be able to worship God the way we want to. We're not really able to do it when we have these Philistines hanging around over us and telling us what to do and how to do it and when to do it. So for us to truly worship God, we need to be free from this. And if it means that I have to die so that others even can be free to worship God, then I'm going to do that. And so we need to learn to die to ourselves to live for God if we're going to face that uncertainty that we have with the faith. And we are saying, I have faith that God is going to bring me through whatever, and I'm willing to die to myself to do that. And so when we do that, then we realize that our faith is trusting the character of God. It's becoming certain that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. It's following God into the unknown, knowing that he knows. Or as another person put it, following the known God into what you don't know. I like that way of putting it. Following the known God into the unknown because he knows. And so when we do that and we seize the divine moments that God has for us, it means we are accepting a divine mission from God. There are a lot of things in our life we're uncertain about. We don't know what the future holds. But we can be certain that God has a calling on our life and that he wants us to fulfill that calling. And I've had many people come to me and say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. And the answer to that is, begin following God with what you do know. You'll never know what God wants you to do with your life, in your life, until you follow God with what you know.
Come on.
Because if you won't follow him with what you know, you're certainly not going to follow him with what you don't know. Sorry, I've gone from trying to illustrate here to preaching, guys. We were created to reflect God's image and to fulfill his missions. That's our primary purpose. And God has a specific call on your life with a specific purpose, but you can only find all of that as you begin to follow him with what you know. And whenever we take on a God-sized challenge, self-sufficiency is no longer an option, Irwin McManus says. Whenever we take on a God-sized challenge, self-sufficiency is no longer an option because we can't do it on our own. So do what God's calling you to do. You may not know how to do it, but if he's calling you to do it, do it. And then understand that everything is possible with God, but a whole lot of things are impossible without him. It doesn't matter. If you trust God, then you can follow him into that future, even though that future is uncertainty. And so as we continue on here in just a few moments, I'm going to talk about living on the edge of uncertainty and faith. But we'll take a moment for any prayer requests that we might have.
We do have several prayer requests this morning, and they all concern people who've gone on to their heavenly home. This first one, pray, continue to keep Liz Lambert Pig and the rest of Gary Pig's family in your prayers. Gary's Celebration of Life service was yesterday in Weatherford, and I'm sure there's some listening that know Liz has been at the Penny News for years and years. She's, even though she lives in Weatherford, she comes over here regularly to work there. And then we want to pray for the family of Doris Lee Brown.